Fasten your chin strap and get ready for the snap. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
All right, Kaner, I need you to... Brian Rice is out today. This is the Eric Ainge Show, and I'm cleaning up coffee.
All right, Eric Ainge Show.
Do something professional.
Welcome into it. Eric Ainge just started off his morning. You know, I've been up for, you know, 4 or 5 hours already. But Eric Ainge just got here and spilled his coffee everywhere. So starting his Thursday off on a high note. When I say everywhere, I mean, there was like an inch.
It didn't get on anything, but
it's everywhere.
Everywhere.
It did not get on your laptop, did not get on our on-air light, any of our mics, not on the computer, the TV, not on my computer. That's the most important thing. But boy. Big old fumble from the quarterback there.
Yeah, that's butt fumble esque. How was your morning? I heard the guys were giving you a hard time this morning. They were gigging you. They like to gig you.
They do, but
you're the 20s club. You guys play the 20s, 30s, 40s club, and you're the 20s club, and so you know it's just natural. That's how if there was a teens 20s club, you'd probably wear out the young lad.
I just can't remember which one you're referring to today. They normally do give me a hard time though, dude. You're right. They were talking about being mayors tomorrow and how I'm going to have a big... I said, guys, listen, I'll deal with you guys from 6 to 9. Outside of that...
Yeah, here's the other important thing with all that stuff that I feel like needs to be said. I'm in good graces with both Tyler and Will.
Yeah.
But if I was not, let's just pretend I wasn't, and they were mayors for the day, and they said I had to do something. I can guarantee one thing. I would go out of my way to not only not do whatever they asked me to do, I'd probably do the exact very thing that they didn't like.
Probably.
They'd be like, oh, you have to wear a suit tomorrow. I'd be like, okay, watch this.
I'm going to wear board shorts. I mean, a birthday suit.
Let's go ahead and take a look at it, Joel. Let's get to the game plan.
No quarterback goes into battle without a game plan. The Eric Ainge Show looks to the sideline to kick off the drive every day with the game plan. The game plan is laid out by 42nd Street. Visit 42SD.com today.
All right, Kaner, what do you want to do today, man? We got 3 hours to play with. What do you want to do today?
So kind of some big news coming out in regards to the NFL yesterday. Adam Schefter reported that under the what is probably going to be signed, still delivered, you know, this week, the new NFL CBA.
Yeah.
Some changes coming up. 17 regular season games, adding another playoff team to each conference, cutting down preseason to 3 games, and some shifting of some percentages and money allotted to the players and all that. So a lot of changes, really. And the big thing is here, if this is passed this week, you're going to get 2 more playoff teams. And that's in another game in the regular season. That's the big thing, man.
That's huge. Like we've seen it in years past. Like both of Eli's Super Bowls, I'm pretty sure they were a wild card team in both of them.
They were a wild card team. The Titans this year with 6 made it all the way to AFC.
Like that's anything. If you can get to the postseason, anything can happen. I like this personally because I just think. Like, why do we love March Madness so much? It's because there's so many opportunities for something crazy to happen.
Yeah.
I know you can't do that with a 32-team league. I get that. But I do think it would be good to have a couple. Like, Rob Manfred is an idiot for what he was trying to do for baseball. But I don't think it's a terrible idea to have more postseason stuff because then you get the Nationals from last year. You know, you get some stuff. I know TV ratings. They want the biggest teams and the best teams.
You want the TV ratings. It's more money. But
the Cowboys might have been a playoff team last year.
They were very well might have been. The Rams would have came from the NFC, actually, if this were the thing. And the Steelers, who were down to their fourth quarterback, would have came from the AFC. I'll take the other side of that when we talk about it. I just think you're watering down the best postseason in sports, to be honest. But we'll talk about that, the pros, the cons, all that stuff. Talk a little NFL, Tennessee Titans. So... You know, there's projections coming out. Adam Schefter was reported this morning that he was on Get Up saying that the Titans are now the front runners for Tom Brady. That's an interesting note. I'll have to look into his comments earlier this morning on Get Up. But what do the Tennessee Titans need to do? Bill Barnwell wrote a piece at ESPN saying that kind of the landscape for the Tennessee Titans in order to save money, you know, keep Derrick Henry, potentially Ryan Tannehill and stuff like that. So we'll discuss that a little bit. So a lot of NFL heavy here in hour number one. Hour number two, talk a little college football. Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. Who holds the leverage? Some interesting comments came out over the weekend.
There's starting to be talks. Now, Joe Burrow's mom came, like someone asked her or she tweeted or Instagrammed or something, that all the talk about Joe Burrow like not wanting to play in Cincinnati is coming from like nowhere. Nothing from their camp is saying, like, he made the comments that, you know, I'm the one that has the leverage right now. And like, this is one thing I think we'll see with Joe Burrow for his entire career. He is an incredibly confident young man. Mm-hmm. I really don't take anything he says as like he's being cocky or it's misplaced confidence. Like, I genuinely think he just thinks that he's going to be such a good football player that he's the one that has the leverage right now, because he doesn't need any one of these teams. He's going to get to go a contract to go play somewhere.
No.
You know, they may need him more than he needs them. And that's all. I think that's all he means is it's like, listen, there's 32 teams. I don't really care where I go play.
No,
I'm going to be good wherever I go. I feel like that's more of what he's trying to say than.
Well, he also said, I mean, we haven't even been to the combine yet. A lot can happen on both sides. He's like, yeah. I'm from Ohio. That'd be fun to go to. So we'll dissect those comments and kind of get your thoughts on that quarterback position. Some more quarterbacks you want to talk about. A report coming out yesterday that the Lions might take Justin Herbert over Tua Tagovailoa there at three if they draft a quarterback.
That,
breaking down those two QBs.
We'll do it today.
Yeah.
That would be the dumbest thing. Justin Herbert is a bust. I'll just tell you that right now. He is not
the prototypical NFL quarterback guy that everyone wants to fall in love with because he's got the size, he's got the arm. You know, he's that quarterback that would just thrive in the NFL, but how many of those have we seen?
He doesn't have it from the neck up. And like, if you don't have it from the neck up, I'm sorry, good luck.
Don't overthink it.
We've watched guys that don't have it from the neck down, but they have it from the neck up, and they are first ballot Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, you got to have it from the neck up. And I see that from Tua. Tua's got it from the neck up. If he can stay healthy, he's a franchise quarterback. Like, no doubt about it. Herbert's not.
Whistleblower Mike Fiers of Major League Baseball said he doesn't need extra security. He can defend himself this year. And John Beilein already out as a Cleveland Cavaliers coach after just half a season. Go over some of his comments talking about how losing really just took a toll on him. Who's more to blame there? So got a loaded show. Florida, Georgia, Alabama coming up at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock. What we learned at 11:45. And it's going to be a good show, man.
All that and more right here on the Eric Haines Show, and that's the game plan laid out for you by 42nd Street, 42SD.com. Check out their website. That's what they do. They build websites. They help you with your digital brand. If you own a business, I know Mike's got meetings with five different venues here in East Tennessee, big venues, you know, like Coliseum-type stuff, different things like that where, I mean, he's already in charge of the World's Fair Park from their digital stuff and what they do, like, I can't say it enough on here. And thank you for all those entities that listen to the show every day that hear me talk about Mike and 42nd Street for taking that time to, you know, put the call in, send the form in, or I'll go on the website, set up a meeting. But straight up, Mike is the best custom website, logo, digital, brand connoisseur, brander, helper of digital, all needs digital. He can help you. And I really appreciate all the listeners that have reached out to him to set up meetings, and you won't regret it. 42SD.com.
9:15. If you want to get on the conversation, 656-9900. Going to talk a lot when we come back. We'll kick things off with the NFL's proposed CBA. All that and more on the Eric Haines Show, 9 to noon, right here on the Sports Animal.
Welcome back into the Eric Haines Show on the Sports Animal. Eric Haines sitting in for Brian Rice today. Brian will be gone with softball today and tomorrow. Kaner, they're having the new they're having the meetings for the new collective bargaining agreement between the Players Association and the NFL owners and Roger Goodell. Hit me with some of the high points. What are we looking at with the NFL collective bargaining agreement?
Real quick, what's important to remember here is that there's been threats of a work stoppage, a lockout, and if this deal gets done, then obviously that you'll be avoided by that. You know, the NFL was in a lockout for. It was Nick Revez's rookie year when he went from Tennessee to the NFL because he had to wait forever because he was an undrafted free agent to sign. The NFL has not been in a lockout since then. Didn't miss any games then, but when this thing gets signed, reportedly probably this week, you're going to avoid a work stoppage. That's the important thing. But something to remember here. This is Adam Schefter of ESPN reporting yesterday. Under the new NFL CBA, the regular season would extend to 17 games from 16. You would cut down one preseason game from 4 to 3. You would add one more playoff team in each conference. So you go from 12 total playoff teams to 14, 7 in the AFC, so 7 in the NFC.
You're adding one more wild card game?
Yeah, so essentially there'd be 3 wild card games on Saturday and Sunday on wild card weekend. Yeah.
Okay.
So you're going to have 3 games. Yeah, you're going to have 3 games a day. And then the number one seed in each conference would get a bye instead of the top 2.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I really don't like the fact that the top 2 seed, like, that should be something that, like, only the best team on each side gets a bye. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is playing. I'm fine with that. That doesn't bother me. A
couple other highlights from this under the new CBA, if this is signed the way it is proposed right now. Players would go from 47% share to 48% share at 16 games, up to 48.5% share at 17 games. That's a shifting of $5 billion of revenue.
I was going to say,
from the player side.
When you say it like just a percentage, it just,
like,
it doesn't seem...
that's not much. $5 billion.
A percent or a half a percent is a ton of money when you're talking billions.
The NFL hasn't adjusted the playoff format since 2002 when the Texans joined the league and the NFL split to 8 four-team divisions. 6 playoff teams in each conference has been around since 1990. So you're talking about potentially 30 years of the same amount of teams in the playoffs, and then that would change this year. Oh yeah, all these changes, if signed, would go into effect for the upcoming season, 2020 season. If the playmat for
good,
if the,
I hate when you have these collective bargaining agreements and that you're like, hey, 5 years from now,
this is what's going to happen.
This is what's going to happen. You're like, come on, dude.
Yeah, it's going to happen this year.
If this playoff
system was implemented, if this was in session this past season, the 7th team added for each conference would have been the Steelers, who finished with 8-8 record,
okay,
and the Rams, who finished with a 9-7 record.
Okay.
And so you would have the Steelers on its 4th-string quarterback. Heck of a coaching job by Mike Tomlin, I'll say that, but the Steelers on their 4th-string quarterback, and then the Rams that really, you know, couldn't hang with anybody. And so, you know, initially, that's the highlights, right?
So here's why I think playing an extra game in the regular season, taking that extra half a percentage share, so they'd get 48.5% share.
Again, $5 billion is shifting from owners to players.
And that's a lot of money to be split amongst 32 teams. Uh-huh. When you talk about the salary cap and guaranteed contracts and money and all that, you know, when you franchise tag somebody, all the different money, I mean, everything goes up. So yep, that's, the player should be happy about that. I will say this, though. I think playing an extra regular season game and not and only 3 preseason games is fine. And I think adding a team into the playoffs is fine, because ultimately you're going to, I think the byproduct of adding an extra playoff team and forcing the number 2 seed in each division to play in the first weekend and in the playoffs and in the NFL, you're only going to make the regular season better.
Okay.
It's going to matter even more who that number one seed is.
I do like the fact that, as Joel pointed out before the show started, you know, the Rams are the only team with a winning record not to make the playoffs this year. And so the Rams would have gotten in. And so what you would have saw on the NFC side, the San Francisco 49ers would have gotten that bye. The second seeded Packers would play the 7th seeded Rams. The 3rd seeded Saints would host the 6th seeded Vikings. And then you would have, again, that matchup of the Eagles hosting the Seahawks, which is actually what happened in real life. But that would have been the playoff format on the NFC side. On the AFC side, again, you would have the Steelers in there with an 8-8 record. And, I mean, they weren't blowing anybody off the door. I mean, it's just, to me, that's kind of when you get into, you're just kind of watering down what is already a good playoff event by putting a team that has no business being there. Steelers weren't going to win a game.
No, but to on the other side of that, you also have a better team playing in the opening weekend in the playoffs. You have your number 2 seed in both sides.
Which will be the Chiefs.
But playing in the opening weekend, not getting a bye.
You would have saw your Super Bowl winning Kansas City Chiefs play. I mean,
yeah,
they could have lost, who knows, but they would have played on the opening week. So you would have saw one more team play.
I mean, I go back and forth on this, because if I'm a player, I'm sitting there going, that's another opportunity for my quarterback to get hurt or for something like that to happen. But there's 16, maybe 17 opportunities for that to happen. I mean, you played football in college, Caner. I mean, it's, you can't set things up saying, well, that's an opportunity for my player to get. Every time they walk on the field, it's an opportunity for the player to get hurt. So
it's
that
collision sport.
that doesn't really
hold any
weight.
Sometimes you get hurt with
me.
Non-contact injuries. I had a buddy towards ACL, literally made a cut doing a fake punt in a drill.
Just
and, you know.
Gone.
Just how it is. So, I mean, there's a lot of different layers of this onion. We'll talk about it as the morning goes on because I'm not really for it. Ainge, I think you kind of are for it. And, again, we'll talk about the preseason because – I know as a fan for preseason games, who cares? But for a franchise like that, you need them. You need them. And so you're diminishing one of those. Not to mention, too, you only have one cut nowadays in the NFL. You go from, what, 93, 94 down to 53. So, again, different things to get into. I want to talk about this more, but we got to step aside because when we return, Jesse Smithy, a five-star preps, is going to join us.
Smithy!
It is playoff time in prep basketball in this area. Fine. Already some district tournaments underway. We'll get Jesse Smithy to get us caught up when we return. You're on the Eric Ainge Show on the Sports Animal.
Welcome back to the Eric Ainge Show on the Sports Animal. It's that time of the week. It's Thursday, 9:30 in the morning. Every Thursday at 9:30, we get to catch up with Jesse Smithy from Five Star Preps. Thanks to Henley Roofing Company, henleyroofing.net. And he joins us on the Stanley Fitz and Gates hotline. We'll get him on here in just a second.
How in are you? Do you go to area high school basketball games ever?
I never do. Not basketball.
No. I watch
highlights and I go on Five Star Preps. So I stay up with it. Like, yeah. I feel like I kind of know like a little bit about what's going on and who's good. If there's ever a kid that's like from the area, Pember from Bearden
like
last year.
Yeah.
If there's a kid that's going to play obviously at Tennessee, but and we'll catch up with Jesse when we can here in just a minute. But as we, you know, even if they're not going to Tennessee for crying out loud,
yeah,
you know, if they're just like going to play big time college basketball, I think that's cool.
And there's been a couple here in the last couple of years. Of course, Pember, you know, went to Bearden, is now on the Volunteers roster, and he's getting some PT, so that's really exciting for friends, family, and, you know, people around here. So
I think Pember's got a pretty high ceiling. I think that he's...
He just looks like a freshman right now, and that's okay.
He looks like Bambi.
Yeah.
He's all bones.
Mm-hmm.
He's lanky. He's skinny.
I'll tell you, though, I like it. I mean, he's done it a couple times this year. He did it one time earlier on the season when he took it. He got the ball like the elbow.
Flushed it from, like, halfway through the key.
Went down the key and just tried to... He got fouled. I'm like... Okay.
I didn't even know.
All right.
I'm impressed you even tried it. That's impressive that you even thought you could do that.
So.
And sure enough, he sure did. All right. We'll get with Smithy when we can. But
Let's talk some more about this NFL CBA.
So you mentioned the preseason games because they're talking about, again, we're talking about maybe adding a game to the regular season from 16 to 17, adding two playoff teams, which only really adds one extra game on each side. You're making the 2 seed play the 7 seed.
Mm-hmm.
In the playoffs,
you'll go from 2 wild card games on Saturday and Sunday to 3.
To 3, and instead of having two teams, the first and second seed getting to sit, only the first seed gets to sit. I mean, if you laid those two out for me, and we'd never seen this before, and we were just trying to decide what the better model was, I would lean towards the new model. Only the best team in each division doesn't have to play. There's a lot of incentive to then become the number one team in the league. You don't have to play an extra playoff game. And you're still only talking about having to win the same amount of games. If you're a wild card team, you have to win the same amount of games to win a Super Bowl. It's not like they're making you have to win a
There's
whole
not
extra
another
game.
Round.
Yeah, exactly. And the preseason, the way that it currently works, the rule of thumb: game one, play a quarter; game two, play a half; game three, up to 3 quarters; game four, you don't play at all. So if you're a starter in the NFL, in the first preseason game, you're playing max a quarter. Sometimes not at all, sometimes a drive or two, but you're looking at max a quarter. Second game, you're looking at the first half, and that give or take, but you're not playing after halftime. And in the third game, if you know, it's kind of the one opportunity to go in, you play the first half, you go into halftime, you come back out, and you play a couple series, so you get the, you know, post-halftime.
That's your dress rehearsal.
That's your game two and three are your biggest preseason games. If you eliminate game four, what you eliminate is a chance for
just your guys trying to make the team.
Your guys,
right?
That are going
to, because
your
starters are not
cut.
Playing. A lot of your prominent backups, I mean, they're going to play just simply because of numbers. But you're the guys you count on, guys you're going to see out there making highlights, are not playing at all.
No, not
and
in the
so
fourth game.
It's a chance for those twos, those threes, and those invitees, I'm using a baseball term, that are trying to make a roster, or much less, maybe they're not making your roster, but it's a showcase for them to make somebody else's roster.
I think that three games, though, is enough. Three games is enough to get your starters in there and get them reps in three games and get the backups in there. You don't need an entire fourth game where it's an entire game of guys like that playing. You can put what your skill on film in three games, even if you're
in terms of the starters, I absolutely agree. I mean, they don't need this. They don't need it at all. But I'm thinking in terms of like a GM, and I've never, I don't know how an NFL training camp works out. I mean, I watch Hard Knocks. That's my experience. You've been to a couple. Yeah. So you took part in a couple. So let me ask you this. Don't you think it's important for your head coach, coaching staff, front office to make those tough decisions, to get another week, to get another game, to see another live tryout for these guys trying to make the roster, especially, too, because a couple of years ago, you know, back when you play, what was it, like three cuts? You went from like 90 down to 78 or whatever.
I don't even remember that.
But now there's just one big cut. You go from 90 plus to 53. And so I think just simply having that fourth game, it's important for the front office and all that, for your coaching staff to decide who's going to make your team. For the starters, not needed at all.
See, I think that if we were only talking about playing one preseason game, then I'd go, that's not enough.
Yeah.
Two, I would go, we're flirting with it. Because, I mean, that's 100, three preseason games is 180 minutes of football. There's plenty of time in three games for you to get. In that first game, you got your starters playing a quarter. That's really three quarters of opportunity for those other guys to play.
Your starters play a quarter?
In the first game, max.
The quarterback plays a series, maybe.
Yeah. But your other guys play a quarter. In the second game, they play about two quarters, and no one really ever plays after halftime. So you get a full half for those guys. Even if you just said you get half the game in the first game, half the game in the second game, you're still looking at about half the game in the third game as well, more or less. You're looking at legitimately 5 to 7 quarters of opportunity for these guys to get. I think it's enough. You know, it's enough of a chance as a GM to see what they can do.
Okay. And as far as from a fan's perspective, a lot of times, you know, if you want to buy season tickets, you have to pay that upcharge to do the preseason as well. Yeah, this will help in that regard because you don't have to see trash football.
No one wants to see that. Yeah, fourth game, I remember playing again. We played at Philly.
Did you start any preseason games?
I didn't start. I played a ton. My second year, especially, I played a ton. I outplayed all the other quarterbacks my second year. I went in there
Did you throw seven touchdowns?
I threw a lot. I mean, legitimately, I threw a lot. I went in and played.
See what I did there, though?
We played. Yeah, no, I got that. We played Philly, though, my rookie year, and it was the only time I got to play because we had four quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And it was the only time I got to play.
Who was the third quarterback on the roster?
His name was Ratliff. He wasn't any good, okay. But he was older and he knew the system.
Yeah.
And he was there. He stuck around for like a few months after that, and then he got cut and went somewhere else. But the second half, I got to play the whole second half, and I threw a couple touchdowns, and it was like maybe the easiest football that I had played other than maybe like the Senior Bowl where they can't blitz. Mm-hmm. Like it was just not like playing in the SEC. If you play in a fourth preseason game, you're not even playing against all the SEC guys. Those guys all get drafted,
and still
they've already played. I mean, like I remember playing, and I got to play against like Ray Lewis was still out there when I went in against when we played Baltimore. Ed Reed
in the fourth quarter or in the third quarter?
No, in the second quarter, second and third quarter. It was for like a series. There was like a series where me going in and they were crossed still over. Out there crossed over.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. But for the most part, you're playing against guys that aren't as good as the guys played against in college.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I just think there's enough opportunity. There's enough opportunity by the time you get to the fourth game. I don't think it's necessary. I wonder with the 17th regular season game though, the one thing I would be weary of that. Now, if I'm the players, I'd take it. You said you get 40. They're going to look at getting an entire half percentage more of the revenue.
If this is signed from right now, you go up a percentage and a half more, which would be $5 billion. And I would assume, I mean, that's another game check too.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, they're not only making more money as in a whole, but they're getting paid more money to do it. You might have more games if you truly have runaway number ones in each side. Mm-hmm. You might have some games where, I mean, that's an extra game. I think we've already gotten it to where there's a week or two in regular season football where teams are already locked up their number one seed, and they're not playing their starters and it's just crappy football. So you run the risk of adding another game like that, which isn't good. But you also give years like last year where the Dallas Cowboys would have loved another week to play and win a football game and give the Eagles a chance to lose.
And so let's hit it from the other side. When we return, we'll take a look at the last couple of years. Who would have been that seventh team in each conference? Who would have gotten in? You know, the Tennessee Titans were right on the fringe back in 2018 and 2016. I'd say, what, if you're a Titans fan and this is passed, you're like, hey.
That's good, because we'll probably be fighting.
You'll be in the playoffs every year with that 7-9 to 9-7.
Let's not get crazy.
I know. I'm just saying it's a joke. We got to talk about the Titans, the mediocrity. So I want to talk about the Titans when we come back, too. So this new NFL CBA that will be signed likely this week has a couple of changes. We'll keep breaking it down. When we return, in for Bron Rice, I'm Eric Kane with Eric Ainge. It's the EA Show on the Sports Animal.
Welcome back to the Eric Ainge Show. Right now, if you're listening, caller number 5 to 656 wins. That's 656 WINS. We're going to get a qualifier for the Coors Light Climb to the Championship. It's the men's basketball tournament in Nashville. Two tickets to every game, not just the Tennessee games. You get two tickets to all the games and $500 cash spending money for whoever wins this Coors Light Climb to the Championship. 656-9467. 656 wins. Caller number 5 right now will be a qualifier for the Coors Light Climb to the Championship. Appreciate Cherokee Distributing hooking us up with that to give somebody.
Yeah, and again, if you go and your team gets put out a little early, then maybe you can make a little coin on the side and come back. So you get benefits all the way around.
There you go.
Let's keep talking this NFL CBA. Potentially, Adam Schefter is reporting that it should be signed at some point this week. What it would do, again, a recap, 17 regular season games, only 3 preseason games in the NFL. The playoffs are to be expanded from 12 to 14 teams, adding another playoff team to each side. The number one seed would get a bye, and there would be essentially that extra game would be added to a wild card a weekend. So that'd be a lot of fun as well. If you look back at, this is where I'm on the fence about it, to where, yeah, another game's cool. As long as the players are getting compensated for that severely,
with the revenue split increase, no matter what they end up doing, it looks like they're going to get an increase in the revenue split.
So you got to take care of the players first and foremost, because again, and the only now again, I'm gonna play ignorant here. I'm not sure about hockey contracts. I'd have to look that up or ask somebody. But NBA contracts guaranteed. Major League Baseball contracts guaranteed. I feel like if there's any sport that should have guaranteed money in your contract, it should be the National Football League.
For the most part, NHL contracts are guaranteed, and the player will get the amount of money they signed for. They cannot simply be cut from a team and lose the contract they signed. However, a player can lose a portion of the contract through a buyout, escrow, or in certain extreme circumstances. Man, if I could read, that'd be awesome. Contract termination. But
So,
it's basically, if you stay healthy and you're taking it serious and playing at a good level, then the contract's yours. The money that you signed for, you're going
to
get.
And so, you know, for NFL players not to have a guaranteed contract, as long as they're compensated and they're taken care of for the 17th game, then sure, I'm on board. However, I think it waters things down, because if you look at the playoff picture this year, the seventh seed would have been the Pittsburgh Steelers, who were down to their fourth quarterback and had an 8-8 record. No one wanted to see this. I mean, it was a good story. I thought Tomlin did a great job with what he had this year. No one wanted to see the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs. Outside of that, you had the Denver Broncos at 7-9, the Broncos at 7-9, I'm having a mind.
Drew Locke.
Drew Locke was their starting quarterback at the end of the year.
He didn't play bad at all.
He didn't.
That surprised me. I'm never wrong about NFL quarterback prospects. Yeah. I need to see him do it for more than just a couple games. I'm not going to anoint him anything yet, but he did better than I thought he would.
On the NFC side, the Rams, who were the only team with a winning record that didn't make the playoffs this year, would have gotten in at 9-7. Then you had the Chicago Bears and the Dallas Cowboys at 8-8. So you're getting into some bad football teams. Like the NBA playoffs, I mean, over half the league makes the playoffs. It's annoying. It's bad. And it takes forever, too, because they're series. But like the NFL, I know, more football, it's fun, and football is different. But I just, you know, I saw the Seahawks and the Eagles play this year, and that was not a good football game. And plus, I think it was bogus that the Seahawks had to travel to Philadelphia to go to a 7-9 ball club, or 8-8, whatever they finished this year, to play a playoff game. 9-7, excuse me. So that would be the difference. I wouldn't want to see a bad team get in. But again, it's an extra game, and so that's kind of fun.
I'm all right with the. Listen, you're going to see in that year you would have had the Cowboys and whoever the two seed was, which would be the Cowboys and anybody is a good football game. You know, I think that there's teams. The fact that the Rams, who played for a Super Bowl, or have a winning record and they're not in the playoffs, like that team ought to be playing in the playoffs.
In 2018, again, the Steelers would have been the team. The Steelers back-to-back years not making the playoffs. Again, the Steelers would have gotten in at 9-6. Then the Tennessee Titans at 9-7. You look at the NFC side, this is 2018. It would have been the Minnesota Vikings at 8-7, and then the Atlanta Falcons at 7-9. So then you're getting into right at 500 and right below 500 teams that would be.
I think for the most part, you'd have teams that were 500 or better. I think you might have an outlier. You might have one team if they play in a real bad division on the lesser side of the AFC, NFC on any given year. You might have them in there, but ultimately, I don't think it's going to change. You're not adding any games or any weeks, full rounds anyway. You're just adding one more game of football on that wild card weekend, which I think would often be, most of the teams in the NFL have a huge draw, a big following. It's more revenue for everybody. It's another opportunity. You get playoff checks. The players will all be in favor of this because you get playoff checks or bonus. I mean, that's bonus money. It's not, that's not something that you count on. That's not part of your, I signed a this many years, this much money deal. Like, you get compensated basically everybody the same for how far you go in the playoffs, but it's additional money. So those guys will all be excited about that. I think that you keep mentioning the Titans. You're a Titans guy. I know Joel's a big Titans guy. Mm-hmm. If you allow this to happen, if they sign this, and I think they should personally, a team like the Titans could be in a position to make the playoffs in 2016.
In 2016, the Tennessee Titans would have made the playoffs as the seventh seed with a 9-7 record. In 2017, the team was just, in terms of tiebreakers and everything, could have got in there. So, Tennessee's always that team because, sidebar conversation for another day, all the talent in the world not to win the division in a crappy division for the most part of this decade. But it's always been in that conversation to where the last 3 or 4 weeks of the season, you're playing for your playoff life and you're playing yourself into it. That's what Tennessee had to do this year before it went on its playoff run. And so,
bottom line, there's a lot of bad TV out there, Kaner. Fine with adding a regular season game because it adds a weekend where on my TV I have NFL football.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As a viewer, knowing that the players are just going to make more money, that's fine with me. I don't really care. I don't care how much money people make unless I'm a fan of the franchise and that you want to pay Ryan Tannehill $25, $30 million. Good luck having a good football team. Good luck.
Of course, if you add another team, that creates another game that creates more revenue in terms of. It's all about revenue. It's all about money, and it comes down. And I agree with you completely. There's always going to be washed down product wherever you're at, but I would rather see washed down football product if it means getting a team that's 8-8 in or whatever. Well, at this point, I guess it would be 8-9 because remember that 17 game. Anyway, you getting a team in there, I'd rather see that being on a football field than that being on a basketball court or whatever. So. It seems like the players are in favor for it. Again, it's a shift of $5 billion essentially from owners to players at a 1.5%. So some changes coming up. And again, that has to be signed. The belief is going to be this week, maybe early next week. But it all comes down to it's not going to have a work stoppage. And
which is good.
More football is better than no football at all.
Absolutely. All right. So when we come back here at the top of the hour, I want to stay on the NFL a little bit. I want to talk about the draft process and Joe Burrow because, and I want to be responsible too. I want you to pull up the entire quote that he gave when he said, Joe Burrow, future number one pick to probably the Bengals. He said, I do have leverage. He went on to say a lot of other stuff too.
Yeah.
But like if you know, we have ESPN's on here silent in the, while we're up doing our shows and it's all up there saying, I do have leverage, and it's talking about, like, is he going to pull an Eli or an Elway? Is he going to big time the Bengals and all that kind of stuff? I want to talk about Joe Burrow, how good he is, the process, who's the better quarterback, Burrow, Tagovailoa. What do you do? Is Chase Young really that good? When we come back, just kind of take a quick look at the NFL draft coming up.
656-9900. You want to get in on the line and talk a little bit of whatever, NFL, the new NFL CBA, a little college football, Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa. Call us, chat with us, 656-9900. With Eric Ainge, I'm Eric Kane. This is the EA Show on the Sports Animal.